Our first scripture lesson today is from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 6 and 25 through 29. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil and struggle with all the energy that he powerfully inspires within me. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
I feel a little bit disoriented this morning. The choir's sitting up in the organ loft instead of behind us. Several of you are just not sitting in your normal places. If I get confused, please forgive me. Things just look different. Our next scripture reading comes from the book of Exodus. It's some selected verses from chapters 33 and 34. This is a foundational passage in the Bible. This is the place where God and Moses have a conversation, and Moses literally nags God to finally say who God is. To put it in the vernacular, Moses basically says, look, if you expect me to do all this stuff you're wanting me to do, at least tell me who you are. And finally, God acquiesces to Moses' persistence. Moses said to the Lord, see, you have said to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, if I have found favor in your sight, show me your ways, so that I may know you and find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do that very thing that you have asked, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. And Moses said, show me your glory, I pray. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name the Lord, Yahweh. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, yet by no means clearing the guilty, but visiting the iniquity of the parents upon the children and the children's children, to the third and fourth generation. And Moses quickly bowed his head towards the earth and worshiped him. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us. Let me take just a moment this morning to bring you up to date. We are involved in a sermon series. Actually, we're involved in a Lenten series that takes place on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings as we explore some foundational values of our faith. As we explore what values-based faith means to us. And this is values-based faith over and against belief-based faith. And just so happened that a couple of times this week I had people ask me, well, what does that mean? And put plain and simple, it's we in the Christian faith are really good at basing our faith in beliefs. We have confessions of faith and we have affirmations of faith that start off with, I believe, we believe. Our vows of ordination say, what do you believe? We're really good at belief. But values are those things that we actually live by. A belief is a cognitive thing. You can actually believe in something that's not true. But a value is a foundational part of being human. Values get at ultimate truths within the human community. The things that we share as human beings. And if we come at our faith through values rather than beliefs, it gives us much more common ground to relate with people who may have different beliefs but shared values. And so that's the foundation for our exploration of values-based faith. Last week, we talked about some foundational values of wonder and awe and grace. That we live in the wonder and the awe of the presence of God that surrounds us and encompasses the entirety of creation, and that we find grace in that wonder and awe, knowing that we are never alone, knowing that God is always present with us, always has been, always will be. God is an eternal presence in all of creation. And this week, we're going to move from that awe and wonder and that grace to two more values of our faith, hope and faithfulness. Now, I'm going to give you a little foreshadowing of the sermon here this morning, because as I was finally putting together my thoughts for this morning, I just couldn't get away from songs, just kept coming into my mind. And so I'm going to be singing a little during this sermon, okay? And what I'm going to ask you to do is please don't applaud, okay? I'm not performing for you, I'm sharing some music. And we're going to get into this whole thing about hope, because we're going to explore what's the difference between a hope and a wish. We did this on Wednesday night, had some wonderful discussion. And so let's start off with a little song. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. If your heart is in your dream, no request is too extreme. When you wish upon a star, your dreams come true. A wish. A wish is based on desire. A wish has a magical, fanciful quality to it. A wish may or may not come true. We don't know. It's capricious. It's whimsical. A wish is cerebral in many ways, because we have an object that we're thinking of, that we're wishing for, that we're dreaming of. A wish may come and it may go. And wishes are good, because wishes are filled with imagination. Dreaming. So much of the things we enjoy in our lives grow from dreams and wishes and imagination. But a wish is not really a hope. The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. Just thinking about tomorrow clears away the cobwebs and the sorrow till there's none. When I'm stuck with a day that's gray and lonely, I stick out my chin and grin and say, tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you tomorrow, you're only a day away. Now that is hope. No matter what the circumstances are, you know the sun's going to come up tomorrow. You know that. I know that. A hope is grounded. A hope is filled with rock-solid expectation. It is dependable. It is true. It's gonna happen. I may not know how it's going to happen, but I know it is. I know I can count on it. It's an inner conviction. It's the will to live, to be. Hope abides. Wishes can be fleeting, but hope abides. It came out in our Wednesday night discussion that hope makes Paul's big three. You know, that famous passage in 1 Corinthians about love, it ends up with faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. And somebody said, well, at least hope got the bronze. Hope is foundational. Paul puts it right up there with faith and love. Hope has to be grounded in something. But it is foundational. Our passage from Exodus tells us a whole lot about what our hope is grounded in. Moses says, "Show me your glory." And we talked a little bit about this last week. Glory is really presence. It's this awesome presence that we talked about last week. Glory, God's glory is God's presence. And Moses says, "Show me your glory. Show me your presence. Show me you are real." And God says, the Lord is steadfast love and faithfulness. Steadfast love. It's a beautiful Hebrew word, chesed. It's all over the Old Testament in describing God. Chesed is, we call it steadfast love or faithfulness. And what it means is always, never ending. And when God says to Moses, "I will show you steadfast in love to the thousandth generation." The thousandth generation is an idiomatic expression which basically means never ending. It's as far as in far into the future as I can imagine is 1,000 generations. It just keeps on going. But you know, I don't forget your sin. But that only lasts for 2 or 3 generations. Steadfast love and mercy and faith. 1,000 generations, never ending. This is who God is. God's glory is chesed. And that's what we have our hope in. Knowing that God is always, always with us. Everywhere. Now I want to slip over to that Colossians passage where Paul, I hope you caught in that passage, where Paul talks about hope. Hope is really one of Paul's favorite values. His letters to the communities are peppered with hope. He likes to couple it with grace, hope and grace. A lot of time it's in his greeting of the letter, the way it is here in Colossians. Many times he closes the letter with hope and grace. But hope is one of the things that Paul wants to extend to people. I guess that's why it makes his big three, huh? And here in Colossians, in this opening chapter of Colossians, Paul reminds the Colossians of their hope. He says, "You have the hope of heaven. You've got the hope of the presence of God. And you have heard this hope in the word of truth." He reminds the Colossians of their hope. And this is a phrase that I really want us to listen to. He says, "God chose to make known how great the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you." The glory, the presence of the mystery, the awe, the wonder, the grace, the presence of this, Paul says, is Christ in you. And then he adds, the hope of glory. That is an amazing promise. To know that the glory of God, the hesed, the steadfast mercy and love and faith of God that is revealed to Moses is interpreted through Jesus as Christ in us, the hope of God's presence. And that's how hope and faithfulness become foundational values in our faith. Because our hope and faithfulness literally grow out of and are an expression of the awe and the grace of the presence of God in our lives. And that's what we'll be doing here in just a few minutes. When we come to the table is about presence. The presence of Christ in our lives and in the world and throughout creation from the beginning of time till the end of time. And we come to take a crust of bread and a drop of wine to remind us of God's presence. The hope of God's glory. Christ in us. Amen. My friends, we have hope because God is steadfast and faithful and eternally present. And the mystery of that hope is Christ in us, always with us. When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of a storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on, walk on, with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. Go with hope in a faithful God. Amen.